Welcome, Photon Warriors. Commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Jackalope Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
And welcome again to...
Welcome to the Movies Hate You Show.
It is the Movies Hate You Show. Thank you for the theme music.
Yay.
Is that it? Are we done?
We're done.
We can go home
That's
now?
It.
Fantastic.
We're
out
of here.
Nice.
Thank you, folks. Have a good night. Please email us at movieshateyou@gmail.com. You can send us your love mail and hate mail.
Love hate mail?
Hate love. Love hate mail.
If you have a
if
love
you hate,
hate
the Movies Hate You Show, you can send an email. If you love the Movies Hate You Show, you can send an email.
If you just love sending emails, you can send an email.
If you hate a show called Movies Love You on another station, you can send us an email about that.
Isn't there too much hate in the world? Can't we just love?
Exactly, and that's why we're here, because we love movies. And isn't it an ironic title, isn't it?
Well, it's ironic.
We love the movies, but the movies hate us. You see what I'm saying?
Is it ironic or is it ironic in quotation marks?
No, to put quotation marks around it.
Okay.
Special with quotation marks around it. Yes. I think you've boiled it down to the bare essentials of what
well,
the show's
there we
about.
Go.
There we go.
Right, good
and
night
welcome.
Again.
Good
night again.
Good night
everybody.
Again. That's it. Enough philosophy for tonight. That's it. My name's Rob. With me is Mr. Ree, the half Asian co-host of the show, Lee Peterson.
Hello.
Welcome to
hello.
The show. Or is that Peterson Lee?
Pan-Asian.
Peter Lee.
Peter. You know,
I think that's
a long time ago I was going to. When I was a kid, I was convinced I was going to change my name when I went into show business.
Yeah.
And I never did.
Yeah.
Somebody actually convinced me that my name had the same rhythm as Jack Nicholson. Lee Peterson, Jack Nicholson. I was like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
I'll keep it.
That's enough for
that's
a
enough.
Career.
That
I,
and I'm lazy.
Yeah.
That and I'm lazy. Those are the two,
gotcha.
Two criteria. And there you go.
So you're kind of like the poor man's poor man, Jack Nicholson.
I'm just a poor man.
Just
That's
a poor
all.
Man. And producing tonight for us, as usual, Mr. Todd Sheets. Welcome.
Yay!
Hey, yay, Todd.
I am here.
Master of the rock and long hair.
I am he.
Mr. Metal.
The formless one, the guardian angel watching you.
The Prince of Gore himself, Todd Sheets.
Do you have an umlaut in your name, Todd?
I don't.
You're not that metal.
But I'm still kind of cool.
Yeah,
do, you
cool
have a, do you have an innie or an outie?
I don't know how to answer that.
Do you have an umlauti?
I have a Bane here that can talk to you.
Is there a Bane
course,
capital?
Of course you do. Is that, what's that, a Mitt Romney doll you said?
I'm sorry. No, like don't Bane insult capital. Bane.
You have a, like action figures of the whole Bain Capital executive board, like on your
Speak
table.
Speak of the here, devil, and he shall appear.
Jackalope, Jackalope aspires to be the Bain Capital of internet radio. Did you know that, Mister Ree?
I did. Does that mean we're getting outsourced?
I think so.
But I'm already Asian. I'm already Chinese. What?
Well, no, we don't outsource to Asia. No, outsource to India.
Oh,
you don't outsource audio related things to China. You outsource assembly related things to China. You outsource audio related things, customer service to India.
I did not know that.
You did not know
I
that.
I did not. There's so much in this world I don't know.
I mean,
know.
Did you ever get an Asian on a phone when you call the credit card company?
Good point.
Right?
Good point. No.
Good afternoon. How are you? My name is Jack.
Yeah. Yes.
Your name is Jack. Yes. Right. Your name.
Good afternoon. I don't understand it. I've got over set over here trying to have a burrito.
I'm getting jacked. This sounds like that's what's happening. A friend I used to work with, every time he would call these places, he would go, how are things today in India?
Things are very scary in India right now.
I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying. He's, no, how are things in India today? How's the weather? You'd be like, no, not in India. Well, where are you? Oh, I'm sorry, I cannot tell you where I am. It's like,
I'm so sorry,
on.
I am in Los Angeles.
It's not so much that you're doing it, it's that you think the American people are so stupid that they can't pick up on that friggin' phony accent. They try
a bunch of gullibles.
They have software that alters your voice to sound more American.
I was about to say that. I've had a call like that, and it's really, really odd. It sounds like it's speaking
robot.
To a robot.
Yeah.
And I asked them, and of course they're under strict orders not to to reveal where they're calling from or anything at all.
Right.
You know,
or
if you say what
real name is
and what prison are you calling from?
Yeah.
They'll just be silence the robo thing. I just couldn't deal with it.
It's
like, what's going on with your voice? I do not understand what you are saying.
It's robo.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Bizarre.
Yeah.
But even though they have the little bit of altering. Now, Todd, you know this being an audio wizard. You can do this. You can just tweak a couple little things, and you can start to sound different.
That's true.
Yeah. You know, I feel like a dummy because I only recently I was watching the making of South Park. Which I don't know if you guys saw this. It's called like 6 Days to Air. They showed it on Comedy Central. It's really, really interesting. It's they take you through the whole process of how they put one show together of South Park. And I feel like a dummy because I didn't realize that, Trey Parker and Matt Stone do all the voices of all the kids, but they're manipulated later. They're altered. And I thought, oh, wow, these guys do these really cool voices. How do they do these voices? And then, oh, yeah, they just change it in the mix, so.
Right, you really didn't think they did those.
I did. I did think they did those voices. I mean, Howie Mandel does voices like that. It's possible to do that kind of a voice, but.
Do you know what Howie Mandel does? I don't think he does them anymore.
Well,
Howie Mandel is opening briefcases with money in it or something. You know, like, does he still do that show? Talk about comebacks. Yeah. Okay, so. This is the Movies Hate You show, and here we are talking about telemarketing calls.
Wow.
I found a trick, speaking of telemarketing, if you ever call somewhere and have to give your account number, do it in a robot voice, and the damn thing goes through every time. Call and say, please speak or enter your account number. And if I go, 6, 8, 7, that was 5, 2, 3, and I'm like, no, that was 6. But if I go, 0, 6, 3, 5, 4, 5. Do it like that voice that's talking to you. Goes through every time.
Wow. I'm
telling you, that's a trick.
And what if you do something like, everything I say is a lie except this? Will that like make smoke come out of its ears? And
I don't know.
Robot paradox.
I don't know. It's kind of like when you call for a Chinese delivery and just something instinctually and it goes into like an Asian voice.
Hmm.
Or what about, RoboCop? What about if you went in and talked like RoboCop?
That's what you have to do. Mm. If you're going to talk to those automated systems to get through the first time with your information, you have to change your voice into a robot voice.
I'm not arresting you anymore.
No, if they say yes or no, yes. Just don't go, yes. Go, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Go, yes, yes, yes. Be a robot.
Hmm.
Beat them at their own game.
When in Rome, yeah. Do you actually beat them or do you?
When in Rome.
Mm.
You know, when I call for delivery for Chinese food, the stuff you make at home.
I always answer the call.
I call your house to bring me food that your family's made, a.k.a. Chinese delivery, I always just something happens to me. You know, I just go into that, you know.
I think it's called racism.
I'm not doing it to poke fun at them. It's almost like I'm bringing down my impeccable English to match their not so great English.
Right.
You know, I'm kind of meeting them halfway.
It's like when Oprah talks black.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you know, I find myself doing that with, you know, the limo driver too.
Mm.
You know, who might be Middle Eastern.
You find yourself like not bathing for a month?
No, I find myself talking like very kind of mono and just not the little nuances of my privileged white American life. You know, I don't throw the cultural references in there, the little sarcastic tidbits.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's very straight and narrow.
Well, you know, you have to know your audience. You play to your audience.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Right. There you go.
Like we're doing right now.
We're playing to an audience.
We hope. Are you out audience. There? Can you hear
you
us?
You can get us Hello? At, you know what? You can get us at movieshateyou@gmail.com. Send Mr. Reese some hate mail.
Mm. Or anything. Send me anything.
Send him a link.
I'm a collector. I collect anything.
He's
I collect ephemera.
He's a hoarder.
Mm-hmm. I'm a hoarder.
Send him your used McDonald's wrappers.
Yep. Old newspapers, whatever.
Send it through email.
I
think if we had like a P.O. box or something, that could be very dangerous. I don't think we should do that.
Yeah. But.
About movies. Right.
Yeah, I saw a movie.
Okay.
I saw one of those movies. Skyfall. It's the new James Bond movie. Anybody see that yet?
Skyfall. Todd, are you a Bond fan?
No.
Not a Bond
sure,
fan.
Of course you're not, because he doesn't wear a cape and a cowl. He doesn't have...
He wants to be Batman. He can't.
He doesn't have lasers shooting out of his wrists or something. Oh, Todd, you're so predictable. You're funny, man. I would take you as a Bond guy. You're like a franchise guy. You don't like Bond.
I've seen one. I've seen them all. They kind of get underneath my... And nowadays, the CGI just... Man, I just don't want to do it.
Yeah, the way Bond is all CGI now. Unlike Batman, you know, which is no CGI.
Hey, in my defense, Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises were very little CGI in those.
Okay. You know, I'm a little upset about all the CGI in the new Bond films, you know. But, you know, let me tell you, The Avengers was a really good film. You know, really
you guys liked it more than me, remember?
Yeah, that's true. Well, here,
you're kind of a DC guy, so I have to throw, like, the Man of Steel, the upcoming Man of Steel.
I don't know, because I've always loved Marvel. I loved Marvel growing up. DC I loved because they had Batman. I wasn't as much into those characters as I was Marvel. But then, you're right. As I got older, I kind of started getting more into like the Green Lantern, the Green Arrow, those kind of things. It was, you know, at that point I was kind of getting into more of the DC stuff. But I grew up with Hulk and Spider-Man and all those, the Punisher. I was there when they invented Blade for Tomb of Dracula. I was there when the Punisher was invented in Amazing Spider-Man. You know what I mean? I was there.
129, baby. 129.
Yeah, I was there when this stuff was going
there,
on.
There, like at Marvel Comics?
Yes, sir. I was enjoying it.
Yeah. Well, look, in Todd's defense, though, what, Todd, when you were growing up, who was your Bond? Who was it Timothy Dalton? Because that would be enough to turn...
No, what happened was it started with Sean Connery when I was very, very young, and I liked him. But and then they switched over, and they got Roger Moore, who was also okay. It was just the fact that then it got to Moonraker, and after that, man, I just lost all interest with the whole Spy Who Loved Me, and it just kind of... I just thought, man, Moonraker was awesome, but everything else...
You skipped over George Lazenby, though, the immortal George Lazenby.
I don't even think I saw that one.
Yeah.
Doesn't even register.
It's a good movie. It's one of the better movies.
Unfortunately, Telly Savalas as the heavy. You're missing out, America.
Yep.
On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Right. And Bond gets married in that one.
Bond gets married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One time he was married.
Yeah.
But
okay, so Mr. Batman, let me test your knowledge. There was, have you seen the film that combined James Bond and Batman?
A film that combined James Bond and Batman?
I knew I'd stump him.
Hmm.
Don't ever.
You stumped me.
Come on. There's a little known film from Asia from the late 60s called James Batman. And it is a combination of James Bond and Batman. It's kind of like a spoofish kind of thing. The actual film, look it up.
Hmm.
James Batman.
And they fight each other or they team up?
He's one and the same person.
Same person.
Yeah, why not?
It's a Filipino movie, though. That doesn't really count.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Speaking of racism.
Hey.
Yeah.
No, no. Well, what I'm saying is at that time, they also did the Captain America spinoff, the Spider-Man spinoff. Remember all those they were doing at the time, the Filipino spinoff movies?
Well, no, not necessarily in that time period, but yes, there have been a couple of Turkish variations. There's some, you know, there was a Japanese Spider-Man series, which is quite excellent.
I love that series, actually. You're right.
I don't think that stuff's out of canon necessarily, especially like that one, the Japanese Spider-Man, which was sanctioned by Marvel. But, I think if you're a real Batman fan, you got to get out there and start, seeing what the rest of the world has to offer.
I would agree with you. Yeah, and I am a Batman fan. I've got a lot of stuff. I've got the Batwoman stuff from over there, which is weird.
That's Mexican.
Right.
Boy, it's like Todd's got there's like Missouri, and then there's like the rest of the world. it's all from the Philippines.
Well,
those little bastards.
I think what he's trying to say is it's not.
What about Alias Batman and Robin, the musical from the Philippines? That's more like from the 80s.
I think because that has Wonder Woman and the Joker.
That has and the Penguin.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Korean Penguin. Killer costumes in that movie.
Yeah, they're kind of like the old TV show.
They are like the Adam West series, correct?
Speaking of Adam West, at least according to Adam West, which
he's the new James Bond.
Well, he claims that he was approached by Cubby Broccoli when they were having trouble keeping Sean Connery. When Sean Connery left, when they got George Lazenby, that they approached Adam West. That Cubby personally approached Adam West, and I forget what the reason was. What he wouldn't do. Oh, the reason, of course, was that he didn't think. That Adam didn't think that audiences would accept an American James Bond, which sounds 50 years later like a good cover story. Who knows? Who knows if they ever did? Who knows if he would have been good?
He would have been awesome.
He would have been awesome.
He would have outdone Roger Moore. My favorite Bond, Roger Moore, would have outdone him in the camp department.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Terrible mistake. Would have killed the franchise, but it would have been wonderful to watch it implode.
We'd still be watching it.
We'd still be watching those. They'd Shatner. Be playing those at midnight at movie theaters and on Mystery Science Theater.
Shatner could have been the villain.
Shatner as a villain. That's like the ultimate James Bond. That's great. Adam West is Bond.
Yeah.
Shatner is Blofeld.
Blowhard.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a rare Batman to find is to find the Andy Warhol version. Did you know he did one?
No.
Yep. See, now I stumped you back.
He stumped me, but he's sitting on IMDb trying to stump me.
Well, I'm not sitting on there doing that. I know.
That wasn't a Batman movie. That was like a guy against a wall for 2 hours.
No. It was an actual Batman movie because Warhol loved Batman. It was one of his favorite characters, and he made an actual Batman movie. I think he met Dracula. And I'm trying to find a copy of it, but it's so hard to find.
Batman Meets Dracula. I've heard of that. I think it's a short, though.
It's an actual movie, man. It's crazy.
Really? Batman Meets Dracula? It sounds like one of those rumored movies I've heard about over the years.
No, you can actually see that they had some scenes from it that were shown in some Andy Warhol documentary in the mid, 2005, 2006. That's where I first was like, holy cow, Andy Warhol made a Batman movie.
For probably uncompleted, right?
I think it got complete. He was like, it just lost. I mean, that's the problem. And then, of course, I told you about the Wild World of the Batwoman. We know about that one. That one's been out everywhere.
That's different than Batwoman.
Right. There are two different ones. The Wild World has been out on Mystery Science Theater and all that stuff.
Yeah, Rhino put that out years ago on tape.
Yeah.
I remember that.
God awful. It was so awful.
And there's a whole spectrum of the porno films, which we talked about a little bit before, but there's even some earlier.
Well,
there was a Batman movie where he was like red, which was kind of ridiculous. A red Batman. That's
Splatman, was that the one?
No, Splatman.
No, he was a red Batman, and he had a Robin sidekick. I'm trying to remember that one. It was like it was made overseas, but it had an American cast. You know which one I'm talking about?
No.
That one you can find at comic shows.
What you're talking about, like Super Argo?
No, no. This is even weirder. It's called something like Batman Fight, and it's got like this guy that's in a Batman suit. It's red.
It's an adult film?
No, it's not.
That's the Turkish. I think you're thinking of the Turkish Batman film.
I don't know. I watched it at a convention, and I had a copy of that on VHS. It's got a Robin in there, and the Robin's like much younger than you'd think. It's kind of weird. It seems like it was like Asian, but I might be wrong.
Well, the Warhol thing, you know, the Warhol estate, they're maniacs about keeping that stuff under wraps. I mean, good luck finding a bootleg of that, because they're right on. They're litigious. They're very litigious. So.
Sucks.
But I mean, you know.
Yeah.
No can't.
No fair.
How about a little more lucrative is the. I'm sorry, my computer's on kooky. James Bond ripoffs. How about that?
Oh, yes.
I bet there's a lot of those. Yeah. Let me for 1 second before we go way too far. Let me ask you if there's any place you've been able to find the Japanese Spider-Man. I thought with all the spider excitement and the fact that they really kind of shove Spider-Man up your butt now that it's owned by Disney, every freaking place, you'd think that somewhere they would think, wow, this is a cool idea. Let's release this stuff. I mean, I actually got to see it at the Alamo Draft House in Austin. They were showing Spider-Man 2 when it came out. And before and after the movie, you got to watch episodes of the Japanese Spider-Man. I loved it. It was just freaking awesome.
I think I have like 6 or 8 episodes in my collection just from years ago, just getting bootlegs over the years. I don't think... Oh, excuse me, there's ever been an official release.
Mm. And then without subtitles, right? Has anybody ever subtitled?
No, there was no subtitles on what I had. I mean, I'm talking, I had old VHS tapes. I don't think there's been an official release. Coolest damn show ever. Spider-Man had, you know, it's Spider-Man, but he had a robot.
Mm.
Spider-Man had a robot. And his powers came from an alien source. It wasn't like a mutant spider.
And Stan Lee signed off on this? He was okay with him changing
apparently so.
Stuff around?
Yeah, apparently so.
Things were different then.
Back then, you know, you take what you can get. I mean, Marvel wasn't a household name.
True.
You know, they used to have the live-action division of Marvel, where you could order different superheroes to come to your school or party or whatever, and they have a guy dressed like the Hulk and Captain America and...
Spidey was on the Electric Company.
Spidey was on the Electric Company. Yeah. The Spider-Man cartoon. Remember that?
Yep. Mm-hmm. There's
other Marvel cartoons they licensed out, those cheaply made cartoons, which are awesome.
There's a new... the new Spider-Man cartoon is actually really good. The Ultimate Spider-Man, it's called. It's on right now on Cartoon Network.
Has he been killed and turned into a black guy yet?
No. Is he going to be?
That's what happened in the Ultimate comic book.
Oh, I don't think it follows the Ultimate comic book. I'd have to ask my son Jack to be sure, because he knows. But I think that's just the title, is the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Gotcha. Thank God.
Yeah. But it's funny. I watched a few episodes.
I was mad. The NAA screamed. The NAACP, they screamed. They screamed. They screamed louder. So they killed Peter Parker and made him black. It's like, what in the hell? Why can't they create a cool new black action hero? Why does he got to replace someone that we already had?
That's the story, is that they
killed Peter Parker because the NAACP is raising hell about not enough black action heroes. Mind you, the NAACP is supposed to be for all people, but the only time they ever raise hell is about black, not Asian superheroes or Hispanic, Mexican superheroes. All they wanted was more black superheroes, so they... took out a whole bunch of characters and brought them back black. Firestorm that happened to him, and of course Green Lantern. They just made a whole new black Green Lantern and took away the other Green Lantern's powers and gave to him. And now Spider-Man was killed, and this kid sees it happen, this black kid, and so he takes the costume and becomes the new Spider-Man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Aren't they happy with a black Nick Fury? I mean,
it's just, to me, it doesn't matter what the skin color. It's never mattered. I loved Blade. I loved Luke Cage Power Man. I loved Black Cat. It didn't matter to me if they were black or white or what color. I just liked the characters.
Luke Cage was one of my favorites, man. When are they going to do a Luke Cage, a Power Man and Iron Fist movie?
When Snipes gets out of jail, probably.
Yeah. No, he's Blade. He can't. You can't cross like that.
He was going to be. No, I think he was, actually.
He was Mario Van Peebles.
No, I'm sorry. You know, he was going to be Black Panther.
Yeah, that was talked
before
about.
He went to jail.
That was before Blade, though.
Oh,
There was talk about him as Black Panther long before.
That, my only problem with the Blade movie, and I loved it, I loved everything about it, but I did have one small problem, and that was the fact that the character wasn't introduced in the way I would hope, because they kind of they took the modern, like, Ultimate Universe version of Blade instead of, like, that original Blade who kicked ass with an afro and stuff, and he was like, it took place during, like, the Blackula era. Man, I would have loved to have seen a prequel, like the first movie maybe even, just be that, the Blade the way he was when he first started.
The original Blade was cool. He had those, like, wraparound, like, goggles.
Bandoleros with
he had
stakes.
The bandana, the fro, and he looked like he just walked out of, like, a Sly and the Family Stone album cover, you know?
It was awesome.
A loud yellow top, you know, purple pants, and he was just, like, going after Dracula, man.
Yeah.
And I was like,
he had that bitchin' overcoat, that big, long, brown overcoat.
Yeah, but think about it, man. You're going to set it in the 70s and then try to sell it to 13-year-old kids. It doesn't matter, you know? Like, think about the market.
Yeah, but think about this. It was an R-rated movie, and actually, I think they could have probably pulled it off. I mean, look at movies like Black Dragon. That movie pulled it off. We all love that movie.
What, you mean Black Dynamite?
Oh, that's what I meant. Yeah, Black Dynamite. I love that movie.
That was a spoof, though. That's not really,
I think it could have worked. I really do, because I would have been first in line to see it. I think it would have been great.
Right, so how long did you wait in line to see Skyfall? Let me bring this back to James.
Mm-hmm.
How long did you wait in line to see Skyfall?
Not as long as you might think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's
doing killer box office. Yeah, wondering how, like,
you gotta wonder.
Was it sold out when you went to the
theater? No, I had no trouble, actually. No.
So you went there and walked right in. You actually just went and kind of just, like, almost pushed a button and the movie started.
Almost pushed a button, and it started.
It's amazing how you sneak into the movie.
We're living in the 20th century, you know. This is
the 20th century. That's right.
At your fingertips, you go into this
big room, and there were a bunch of other people around.
For me, it's a solitary experience of watching movies.
Really?
So I guess
it's sold out. I mean, it made $80 million. Yeah. Must have been packed.
You would think.
Were there a lot of people, like, texting during the movie?
I didn't see one.
Nope. Were you texting during the movie?
No, I would never do that. Never.
No. Was there anybody on screen texting, like, who shouldn't have been because the camcorder picked them up?
Hey, now.
What? I'm just wondering.
No. But I gotta say that. we've talked about torrent issue before.
Yeah.
I gotta say, you know, regardless of, I think it's amazing what technology has brought to us. Like it or not, you've got
like
a situation where you can. Okay, there is a.
Can we talk about
really
James Bond?
Really sweet copy of James Bond on the internet already.
Is there?
If you know where to look for it.
Is there?
And it's
why would you look, though? You saw it in a theater.
Well, I'm saying if you want. I'm saying it's
like it or
it's
not
astounding.
America, like it or not, America, guys like Mr. Ree are going to steal movies.
I went through, you know, I've been around a long time. I went through the whole buying bootlegs on Canal Street, you know, in New York. Years ago, when it's a real shady thing, and it's some Chinese woman who looks like she's afraid for her life, and
because she probably is,
that's a whole bootlegging thing that I think is different than what they call the scene, the people who do this stuff online, which doesn't seem to be whatever you think about the legality of it. Still, it's more of a hobby. It's not, people aren't making any money off of it. It's all more or less like street art. Like they're well, it is. They're doing it to impress each other. Everybody has they have their own scene names that they tag the releases with, and everybody wants to
put their real name on it.
Well, of course not.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting thing.
It is. I think it's very interesting. Ty, what do you think?
I have no comment at this point.
Yeah.
Having said that,
yes.
The content of Skyfall.
So, yeah, Skyfall. Let's talk about James Bond here.
Let's talk about James Bond
knockoffs.
Yeah. Well, here's, you know, let me throw this thing out there just about Bond and Batman. Bond versus Batman. This is what I like about...
this is such a nerd show.
Just
tonight.
hear me out. This is what I like about...
I'm waiting
about,
for, like, Kevin Smith to walk in. Like, this is, like...
There isn't room in this apartment for...
There's too much nerd right now going on.
Here's what I like.
Bond versus Batman. Who would win?
It's not that
Led Zeppelin
kind of.
Versus Pink Floyd.
Well, obviously Led Zeppelin, but here's what I like. In Skyfall, there's a couple of winks to the audience, a couple of nods, you know, a title of a Bond book here, and a riff on the Shaken Not Stirred thing. Just little winks to the audience that show, hey, we know that you know that Bond has been around for 50 years. This isn't a new thing. Well, thanks for staying with us, blah, blah, blah.
15-year-olds don't know. They're going in. They think it's a new movie.
You don't have to know that, but it's still,
right,
for the people who know, it's a little wink.
The old people like
it's
us,
a wink.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the one thing that the Batman movies are missing, and that goes back to the Burton series, as well as the Nolan. They seem to exist in a vacuum, as if this is the first time anybody's ever heard of this character. It doesn't exist outside of this realm.
Right.
Just put in a little, and I don't mean like obvious in jokes where it's, you know, Titanic, you know, level of having the character say, "Oh, Picasso! Oh, he'll never amount to anything." That kind of groan. I don't mean that kind of, you know, humor, but just put a little something in there that says we know that you know that this is a character that's been around a long time. And there's various permutations of it. There's comic books, there's TV shows, there's movies, there's comic strips, whatever. That's it. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that's the problem, I think, with Batman, is that Batman was so defined by the Adam West series and that 60s thing. So defined for so many years that creative types that get involved in that property go out of their way to make it as dark or as sinister as possible. Yeah, they just keep taking it. How can we get rid of the Adam West thing? Remember, that was like Tim Burton. Mm-hmm. That's all they kept saying. That's all they kept talking about. And, you know, and in retrospect, he wound up making just as campy film, you know, in a way, to me.
And would it have killed him to give Adam West a cameo as Bruce
ridiculous.
Wayne's father?
Right, or something, or just like give him a Stan Lee cameo opening a fridge or something. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. something. Burt Ward, everybody was still alive then.
And eager to participate.
Gorshin
yeah.
was alive
yeah.
then.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Cesar Romero was alive, but
no.
or just Meredith was
probably
alive.
Was, yeah.
These guys were all, why wouldn't you do it? Because they just wanted to detach themselves from it. I remember Adam West came out in the press. He was pissed off that he wasn't asked to be Batman.
Right.
Which was
ridiculous,
movie.
But.
Well, but still, the point is he wasn't considered for anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's, you know, I think that left such a lasting impression on, especially somebody Tim Burton's age, that he just wanted to detach. And I think, you know, that's partly, I think that the Bond franchise is heavily controlled. The Bond franchise is really creatively steered to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
By the Broccoli camp. And I think that maybe DC just kind of says, oh, the great Tim Burton's here, just give him the property, or the great Nolan is here, you know, just get let him, oh, he's going to do, you know, he's going to do what he's going to do with it, blah, blah, blah. And you've got this totally disjointed character.
Right. And then Burton finally did with his Planet of the Apes turd.
Yeah.
A remake. He cast Charlton Heston in a cameo,
yes.
a small role as
yeah.
an ape, and he,
yeah.
You know, of course, he couldn't resist the
right.
throwing a line in there
right.
that didn't need to be there. But yeah, just a tiny, tiny bit of humor, I think, is what the Batman movies are missing. And don't get me wrong, I do enjoy them, but I think they would be 10 times better with just a little bit of humor.
I think they tried. I think Burton tried. I think they were supposed to be kind of dark comic, especially Batman Returns. You know, there was some.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking more of the Nolan films.
Yeah.
That don't have
the Nolan
any.
Films are
any,
humorless. They're
yeah.
humorless. Yeah, yeah, they're completely. I mean, that's the problem with,
Bale? Christian Bale.
Bale. I couldn't think of his name. That's how forgettable he is as Batman. Who's a good actor. A really good actor. He's just so flat in those films. He just there's no personality, where I think Keaton brought something to it that had a little bit of that comedic edge.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little something trying to shine out there. You felt that he was a human being, and I think that's why Burton cast Keaton, because it just took it out of the whole superhero thing, the untouchable superhero thing. Bale, three films, and I still don't know what's the guy's motivation.
Yeah.
You know, it's still not there. It's just set piece after set piece. Look what I can do, look what I can do. You know? Where that's the material, you know. I think it's 50-50. It's Bale, and it's really the material. I think Nolan probably had a real iron grip on how he wanted Bale to perform. Because look at something like The Avengers or Iron Man, where Robert Downey Jr. can do no wrong. I mean, he steals that movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, excellent personality.
And there's a lot of humor in the movie, but it never takes you out of the movie. I mean, it's perfectly right. In character. And,
right.
And there's no, you know, Batman isn't just a serious character in the comics, always.
Right.
I mean, there's a certain amount of humor.
I mean, if you go back, if you know, everyone thinks of Frank Miller as Batman, but that was the 80s. Go back to the 70s, you know, they got a little bit darker than 60s. It was just like absurdity.
Mm-hmm.
And early 70s, crazy absurdity. So where's none of that really, you know, kind of carried over? I don't know, something about, I guess, calling it the Dark Knight. You know, once it got that kind of, you know, pick up in the 80s, and when it got that kind of subhead, everybody said, oh, it has to be dark. His parents were killed, of course. It has
right.
to be dark. I don't know. I think Marvel always got the superheroes right. You know, it's an absurdity. So let's treat it with a little bit, you know, and I think something like X-Men or Spider-Man really, you know, plays with that well.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's, you know, I would like to see someone do a Batman movie where they do Batman as, you know, Batman detective, you know, because he's a detective, and have him do some, you know, actual
detective work.
Detective, like, mm-hmm. criminal work, and not like, oh, here, check out this slide for me and get back to me. You know, here, create this thing that I can reach out to everybody on the earth at one point, you know, but whatever, and somebody else does all the work for him. Like, have him just back to basics, almost. I like to see that. Get rid of the cape and everything, too. Just back to basics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. it's almost like Nolan made him unlikable as a person, so you couldn't wait for him to become Batman.
Todd, is there any word on where they're going with Batman?
Reboot.
There's some speculation, and even some directors that have been brought into the fold to ask what their take would be, and nothing solid yet, but one of the takes sounds very similar to what you're talking about. It's a young Batman who is, you know, honing his detective skills while still maintaining the kick-ass street fighting style that he's so good at that mixes all the different martial arts. So it's kind of neat to say. My hope is that not only will we have some of the cool gadgetry of the Nolan films, but we'll get back into some of the detective work as well, which I always found to be very compelling when you're reading a comic. I understand that in a multiplex, it's harder to tell a multi, you know, level story like that when you've got, you know, 15 issues of a comic that's unveiling these mysteries. I understand that they have to find a way to do that in a multiplex to keep people riveted, you know?
Well, that's the thing with, like, the Nolan films is, like, if you take the second film, which could have been like that, you know, could have been this kind of, like, Joker, Batman kind of power, you know, a fight of wills, you know, over power or control of the city or something. But it's absurd, you know. People just, things just start happening, you know, situations just start happening. It's very kind of, it's over grand. You know, same thing with Bane. It's like, oh, now is the 10 minutes where we blow up the bridges. Now is the 10 minutes where the hospital is taken over. And this stuff just appears. There's none of that, like, what I think, not even the James Bond films necessarily have. It's kind of like a build-up to action scenes where it's like, oh, my God, we have to stop this thing from happening. There has to be... It's all just very matter-of-fact. Even, like, in the third Batman film, where they're chasing those trucks around the city, it's so convoluted, and it's cut between, like, three other things going on. You never get to follow, you know, the rhythm of a film is not to just throw everything at you at once, is to kind of, build up the story so that you can become emotionally involved with it, and then be brought to, you know, these heights, and then brought back down, and then brought back up. It's kind of like a thrill ride if it's done properly. You know, it's kind of like we were talking about The Walking Dead with this parallel storyline. It's like you feel like you're watching a 15-minute TV show because you're getting involved in one story, and then all of a sudden it cuts to something else, and 10 minutes go by, and you forget about, you know, the story you were invested in 20 minutes earlier. Right. Oh yeah, that's right. Rick went lost. You know, blah blah. Like people are forgetting. Like everybody's saying, oh, what's her name's dead? No, they never showed her die. She's obviously somewhere hidden. Rick's gonna find her because all they found was her headband. But people thought she's dead because it's just thrown away. It's just like, okay, yeah, you know, the drama of it's missing when you start messing around,
right?
Throwing too much crap into the mix.
And it was good that they did one episode with the governor entirely.
Yeah,
that was. And I expected the next episode to be just about the other.
It should have went back and forth.
It should have.
Yeah, should have went back and forth because the governor's story, all that stuff they're doing. Could be condensed down.
Mm-hmm.
It can all be condensed down.
Mm-hmm.
They've already showed that something funny is going on. All right, let's move along. Yeah, obviously he's a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, once you prove that, then we can get back to the story.
Right,
connect the stories. I have a feeling they're probably going to wait till the second half of this season in the winter to combine the stories. I'm sure that's the idea.
Right. The cliffhanger will be
Rick
the two
and,
sides
Rick
coming
governor,
together.
Yeah, yeah, Rick and the governor face off or whatever happens.
Yeah.
You know, blah, blah, blah. So, back to James Bond.
Yes.
Best Bond knockoff.
Best Bond knockoff.
We're going to get to this eventually.
Not counting Casino Royale?
No, forget that.
Okay. I don't know. Why do I keep wandering back to the pornos? There's a porno series.
Because you got one thing on your
Jane
mind.
Bond.
Let's talk about Matt Helm.
Matt Helm, there you go.
Dean Martin. Matt Helm.
The books were rip-offs of the Fleming novels.
Right.
Right.
Right. So that's like a Bond spoof.
Yeah.
Knockoff.
Yeah. Yep.
Let's talk about James Coburn.
Flint.
In Like Flint.
And
Our Man Flint. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk about O.K. Connery. You know that movie?
I don't know that one.
Do you know that movie, Todd?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay. Now, little does anyone know, Sean Connery, the actor, has a brother. And his name is Neil Connery. And they look very much alike. Hmm. They're not twins. So, in the height of the Bond phenomenon that was happening in the 60s, early 70s, some industrious Italian producers decided to hire Sean Connery's brother to star in a Bond movie.
Mm.
And the whole premise was that 007 was missing in action or unavailable. So they had to get a lookalike. They had to get his lookalike brother to play him.
Uh-huh. To double him.
To double him. To 007 him.
Ah.
So Neil Connery plays Sean Connery as James Bond in O.K. Connery.
Wow.
Yeah. And I don't think it's ever been on DVD.
Hmm.
And it's a mess. It's, you know, it's typical Italian. I mean, the Italians were notorious for doing the Bond spoofs.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorite ones.
Then there's the For Your Height Only.
For Your Height Only.
Something and a half.
Seven and a half. No, it's like 00 half or something. Yeah. You know, it's 001 and a half. Two movies.
Two, yeah.
For Your Height Only and the sequel.
The Something Kid, Dynamite Kid? The
That's a different movie. It's For Your Height Only, and then there's For a Few Heights More. No, I have no idea. There's another one. Mm-hmm. There's a second one. So there's those, which are incredible. Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
This little man, he was like a dwarf of a dwarf.
Yeah.
That's how small he
miniature
was.
Dwarf.
A miniature dwarf. Mm-hmm. Like a miniature pincher.
Like a bonsai dwarf.
Like a bonsai dwarf, you would call him, right? He's like a bonsai dwarf, and he's in this like white suit, and he's going around doing karate. He's getting all the women, jetpacks, car chases, like, what was it? Philippines.
Philippines. Mm-hmm.
Philippines are crazy. I love them.
Yeah.
I just love them. And they just, and dead serious. This was not done as a, it was obviously a spoof, but it was done dead serious. like it was played dead serious, mm-hmm. but we know it's a spoof, and the producers knew it was a spoof, but it is just done like there's no like winking to the camera necessarily. The dude rides motorbikes.
There's a terrific documentary about Filipino movies.
Women in prison.
Women
in cages.
I can't remember what it's called. Yeah, something.
Yeah. Women behind bars. Something.
Right.
It's the guys who did the Ozploitation.
Hollywood. Yeah.
Not quite Hollywood.
Apparently, it started as a straight documentary about Wen Wang.
Right.
And then once they opened that can of worms, they realized what a amazing stuff
amazing
was going on.
Films. The Darna films are in the Philippines. You ever seen those? A lot of these knockoffs we were talking about earlier, these superhero things, a lot of unauthorized stuff. You know, tons of crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Then you've got Remo Williams a few years later.
One of my favorite characters. Mm-hmm. Not the movie or the TV show. Short-lived TV show, but the books, yes.
It's the Destroyer series? Is that
Destroyer.
What
created the Destroyer. That was the first book in the series. And it is Bondian, right? Is that a
mm-hmm.
word?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
it is now.
Yeah, it is now.
If Tarantino-esque is a word, then Bondian certainly is.
If Tarantino is a word that we... but Remo's a little bit different because there's that Asian influence with Chun and the martial arts thing, but it's kind of like, you know what Remo Williams is more like? You see the Transporter movies?
No.
Okay. You never saw the Transporter movies with Jason Statham?
No. I'm sorry. Yes, I did.
Where he's the driver?
Yes, yes.
The stuff that he does in that movie, like the two cars crash and he jumps up in between them, mm-hmm. and he's, you know, the insane physicality of it, and the defying of physics is very Remo Williams. Like, that character's... I wouldn't be surprised if whoever's behind those films was a Remo Williams fan.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's Remo Williams without the martial arts training sequences and Chun, the character.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of superhuman stuff was Remo Williams. So it was... Yeah, but there was a lot of, you know, like, supervillains that they fought. There's a lot of, like... Now, one of the novels is great. They fight like the defrosted Walt Disney, who's come back to like take over the Earth. Of course, they don't call him Walt Disney, but you know, everything's there. But they defrost the brain.
Wow!
And you know, he gets a new body, and they go after. You know, these are the kind of plots. They just go out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just completely bananas. But they are very James Bond influenced.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you could say that's a knockoff. But there hasn't been a good movie. Is that lousy movie from the 80s?
Yeah. Buckaroo Banzai is slightly Bond-ish, Bondian.
It's maybe. Bondian,
mm-hmm.
a little bit. The kind of idea that Bond can just do anything. You know, he can jump on a motorcycle and he knows how to ride it.
Right.
He can grab it, like in the new film. He gets in the crane, he knows how to operate the crane. He starts it up and starts using the crane. Jumps on a, gets in a boat, he knows how to do the boat. You know, needs to do surgery. Oh, I got some surgery going on here. So that, it's very... Buckaroo Banzai is kind of it's a little bit of a spoof in a way of that,
mm-hmm.
where it's like the neurologist, rock star, world-class surgeon, record-breaking, stunt driver or whatever, it's almost like they put it up front as a gag,
mm-hmm.
and then bring aliens and everything into it to make it even more absurd. But I like the... I'm surprised Buckaroo Banzai, I know it has a huge cult following, I'm surprised it never got sequelized or comic book or something.
Well, it was really expensive and it was a bomb, wasn't it?
It was a huge bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's a bomb, in retrospect.
Right.
I think it's
right.
made money on home video. There's DVDs that have come out and stuff, and mm-hmm. probably on television it made money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was a huge... Yeah, they really pushed it, and it was a giant bomb.
Mm-hmm. You know what I really hate hate's too strong a word, but I hear this often. I'm a James Bond purist. Sean Connery's the only Bond.
Yeah, yeah.
It's such BS, because in the first place, if you're a purist, you wouldn't like the movies at all, because the novels are really the original source material.
Right.
So,
which people claim that the new Bond is more like the
novels,
the new ones are more in the spirit of the novels.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't read the novels, but I understand that.
I haven't read the novels also. Either. And I've heard a lot of people compare. Do you ever see a movie called The Dogs of War
with Christopher Walken?
Mm-hmm. I've heard that movie compared a lot to what the James Bond books were.
Mm-hmm.
Very like just get together, do a job, and get out kind of thing. You know, very kind of. I mean, Dogs of War is a great movie,
mm-hmm.
so it has that kind of like get the team together, let's do this. Get out.
And they're pretty humorless, right? The novels. I mean, he's
right. It's not spoofy. It's mm-hmm. not campy. I think Connery's campy. You know, people. My favorite's Roger Moore because mm-hmm. I think that was my first exposure to Bond.
Yep.
I think was that right during that period. When the Sean Connery ones would come on, they already looked old to me. You mm-hmm. know, they weren't modern looking. They weren't. They looked ancient. They didn't resonate with me. And I appreciate them now, but Roger Moore brought that kind of humor that the Batman series, you say, needs.
Yeah.
It's just that little wink.
A wink.
A wink. And you know what? It was done way before, and now it seems cliche, but that stuff was done long before Bruce Willis with Yippee-Ki-Yay and mm-hmm. Arnold Schwarzenegger's little one-liners and all these action films. That was like, nobody had really done that.
Mm-hmm. It's not quite breaking the fourth wall, but it still is letting the audience know that we know that you know.
Yeah.
You're watching a movie.
You're watching a goofy movie, mm-hmm. you know? My favorite's Live and Let Die.
That's mm-hmm. oh, absolutely it's a the terrific,
best Bond,
yeah.
best Bond movie ever.
Blaxploitation.
It's the Blaxploitation yeah. Bond. It's a Blaxploitation film. It's a spy film. It's also like a Smokey and the Bandit movie, you know? It's just like everything is in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely all there.
Now, Roger Moore, excuse me, Sir Roger Moore, claims that Sir Steven Spielberg was tapped to direct a Bond movie, which I think would have been Moonraker.
Wow.
I'm not sure. Might have been one before that. And it was going to be a done deal. It was a done deal, and turns out Spielberg wanted a piece of the movie. He sort of assumed that was part of the deal, was he was going to have a piece of the movie, and Broccoli said, no, that's you're a director, that's all, you're a director for hire.
Yeah.
And that fell apart, and then he went on to do Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Thankfully.
So,
Could
have been interesting, though. Would have been Moore.
Would have been interesting, but we wouldn't have Raiders.
Right, we wouldn't have Raiders.
Or we might have Raiders a year later. With Tom Selleck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that wouldn't have been good.
No.
We wouldn't have known the difference, so it might have been.
Right.
But do you see, like, everything would not, it might not have happened because everything might not have come in place had he taken Moonraker.
Mm-hmm.
You know how time and space work? That just that one little change, you know, you kill that one butterfly
mm-hmm.
in the past and you've altered the future.
That's why I kill as many butterflies as I can just because I can.
Well, then that means dinosaurs will take over the Earth.
Cool.
Yeah.
I love that. I love Jurassic Park.
Oh, get out of here. Speaking of Spielberg.
Yeah. No, I like, yeah, I mean, I'm a few years older than you, so Sean Connery was still doing Bond when I remember. I remember The Replacement. I remember it was kind of controversial.
It was a big deal.
That Roger Moore took over and so forth. I like, you know, I like them all, to be honest. I like Lazenby. He's fine.
He's okay,
I like
Dalton.
I like Timothy Dalton. I think the scripts are terrible in those movies. I think he's a
And a lot of people also said Dalton was more of a Bond from the novels
mm-hmm.
than I think Roger Moore really screwed up the brand for everybody.
Mm.
You know, I thought that was great.
Yeah,
I love that.
A lot of people think he's the worst Bond, and I totally disagree. Daniel Craig, I think, is a different direction, but I like it. In the new movie, there's a little bit more humor. I think the other two movies weren't quite
sly. Yeah, I don't get it. It's like how Nolan takes Batman and tries to make it dead serious. I'm sorry. At the end of the day, it's a guy in a you know, tights.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Don't take it that seriously. Don't go the opposite direction in Joel Schumacher, the movie. But there has to be a nice balance there. With James Bond, it's like some of the stuff is just so outrageous. It becomes parody. You know, it becomes. You know, I think that's what worked about stuff like, you know, Schwarzenegger or Bruce Willis, these action films that we look at as iconic right now, is because there was always that wink that, yeah, I'm in a living comic book.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the living comic book. I'm not, this is not serious art,
mm-hmm.
you know. It is art. It's its own brand of art, but it's not, we're not making a, you know, statement drama here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think guys like Nolan think they are. I think he's trying to make some kind of statement.
Yeah, yeah, I
and that's why Roger Moore is the best Bond. Because the only statement is enjoy life and have a good time and never take it too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Never. No matter what they throw at you, never take it too seriously. What better lesson could you get out of life?
Mm-hmm.
Or from a movie?
Roger Moore was already a star when he came into
star.
The
yeah.
into the party. He was the Saint for many years, and before that, Maverick.
Yeah.
So he was a big TV star.
Big TV star. Now, he spoofed his character, which was brilliant, in the Cannonball Run,
mm-hmm.
where he plays a character who thinks he's James Bond and thinks he's Roger Moore.
Right.
Right.
Right. Cannonball Run. When are we going to rediscover that? Oh, geez.
Get out of here.
What? That's a movie ripe for rediscovery, Cannonball Run.
Cannonball Run and Cannonball Run 2.
Mm-hmm.
Abe Vigoda? You kidding me? You didn't see this movie?
Jackie Chan?
His
introduction to America?
Second introduction to America.
The big brawl? Is that the
big brawl? Yeah. Robert Klaus tried to break Jackie Chan into the market with the big brawl, and that was a flop. Although it's a pretty decent movie. The mistake was setting it in the 30s.
Mm.
Then Hal Needham tried to introduce him in the Cannonball Run films.
Mm-hmm.
The Protector.
It would say, well, that was James Glickenhaus tried to do it with Protector.
Oh, yeah.
It's Danny Aiello teams up with Jackie Chan. This is how off target these people were, you know what I mean? But Jackie Chan had already, of course, had a career in Hong Kong and had several films, but he wasn't really a household name. I mean, he was just considered another Bruce Lee kind of wannabe by the martial arts crowd. At mm-hmm. the time, he didn't really stand out on his own like a Sonny Chiba did. But still, he had a following, and like stuff like Snake Fist Fighter, all this stuff was coming out in the 80s, you know, repackaged here in the States. So people knew who Jackie Chan was, but he wasn't a household name until the 90s, until Rumble in the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
That was mm-hmm. it. And then everybody rediscovered this enormous catalog of films. And it was,
and then they promptly cut them to pieces to make a PG rating.
Yeah,
yeah, it was terrible. I mean, we were watching, like, you know, we were going into Chinatown and renting, like, you know, Armor of God.
Yeah,
and, you know, all this awesome
Police Story,
stuff, Police I mean, Story
the,
film,
the
no, Police
bootleg.
Story, yeah, Police Story was released here.
Right. Well, I think the bootleg market is really what made Jackie Chan break in America. I mean,
that's
you know, that's when Miramax decided to recut and re-release all these things.
They were releasing these films like Operation Condor and Super Cop and all this stuff that we had seen on the bootleg market like 5 years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Once Rumble in the Bronx made a lot of money, which is weird because Rumble in the Bronx is one of his worst films.
Yeah.
It's a very weak film and it's ridiculous. You know, it's like the absurd level of like Death Wish 3. You know, it's like up there with like the fake Bronx with the mountains in the background and everything. It's really poorly executed. And there's one really good fight sequence in it, but stuff like Dragons Forever, you can't touch that movie. Mm. Dragons Forever is one of the best.
Drunken Master 2.
Drunken
was
Master,
the one that
yeah,
2, hit
that,
me.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. And that came after, thankfully.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was already a hit in Hong Kong,
right.
And that was just re-released here.
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, where were we going with that?
I don't know.
We went from Roger Moore spoofing himself in Cannibal Run to Jackie Chan's career.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Just like that.
Wow.
Hmm.
What's
one
next,
click.
Louis Bunuel?
Maybe next week.
We went from Warhol to Batman to Schwarzenegger to Turkish films to Philippines to...
You never know what you're going to get on this show.
You never know what you're going to get on this show.
We never know what you're going to get on this show.
We never know what you're going to get on this show. Sometimes we do.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have great guests, too.
We do.
Guests
we do. Well, I'm working on a couple things.
All right, good. Yeah. Good.
Stay tuned.
Let us know.
Stay
Let
tuned.
Us know. Still trying to get Hal Needham on the show with
mm-hmm.
us.
That would be an awesome
Keeps refusing.
Get.
He says we're not a family show.
Not yeah. Guess he doesn't consider the Manson family a family.
Who else? Who else? Do you know I met Albert Pune?
That's a story in itself.
That's a story in itself. And I told him, I says, I've been defending Captain America since I rented it on video in 98.
And he said, you're the guy.
Yeah,
you're the guy
who's been. He's kind of, oh. He didn't even respond to me.
We should have him on the show.
We should.
We should talk
to him. I will reach out to him.
That guy has had quite a career. And it is amazing. Still in having a career.
It's amazing. Cyborg. All right. I think that's it for us, isn't it, Tom?
Is that it?
That would be the one. This has been the Movies Hate You Show.
Our man Flint in the booth, Todd Sheets.
Yay.
The spy with a cold nose right next to me, Mr. Reilly Peterson.
Arigato. Hi.
And I am Double Agent Shut Your Face. This has been the Movies Hate You Show. See you next time. Movies Hate You at gmail.com.